This episode of Clearview Today is brought to you by Mighty Muscadine. David, let me ask you, how's your immune system lately?
It's honestly in critical condition.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. But what if I told you that similar to our immune system, which produces more antibodies when under attack, the muscadine grape also produces more damage-fighting antioxidants when under stress from the environment it grows in, leading to a host of health benefits?
I'd gobble them up like Tic Tacs.
Well, my friend, MightyMuscadine.com has everything you could ever need to take your health game to the next level. All their products are gluten-free, trans-fat-free, non-GMO, dairy-free, and best of all, they actually taste delicious.
I can attest to that personally. I had some of their protein powder just this morning, and it's delicious.
I know that's
their
right.
Their grape juice is delicious.
Tell it.
Their antioxidant beverages, delicious.
Preach on.
Their shampoo, their body lotion, all delicious.
What?
Best I've ever had.
I'm glad to hear that you liked it, but try not to eat the shampoo.
Too late. And I'll tell you something else. Mighty Muscadine believes in protecting God's great earth for generations to come. That's why their farming and production is environmentally friendly, and they make every effort to protect and preserve without the use of pesticides and herbicides.
You ate shampoo, though. You said your immune system was in critical condition? I think I know why.
The only problem is I'm a little short on funds.
Well, fret no more, my friend. We're going to talk about that later, but fret no more. You can visit MightyMuscadine.com and use promo code TODAY, that's T-O-D-A-Y, to unlock exclusive savings at checkout. Again, use promo code T-O-D-A-Y at checkout to enjoy a significant discount on all your purchases of Mighty Muscadine products. And listen, every single dollar you spend using that promo code helps support us here at the Clearview Today Show.
Remember, that promo code is TODAY. T-O-D-A-Y. A healthier, happier you is just a click away.
Welcome back, everyone. Today is Wednesday, February the 28th. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
And you're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abhidhan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, send us a text 252-582-5028, or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right. You guys can help us keep this conversation moving forward by supporting the show. You can do that by sharing it online with your friends and your family. You can leave us some good 5-star reviews on iTunes or Spotify, anywhere you get your content from. Your Christian content from, but that's, which is also true.
Yeah.
Your podcasting content from. We're going to leave a couple of links in the description of this show so you can do just that.
The verse of the day today mm-hmm. comes from Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea.
That's the whole point of us doing this show. We want the whole earth to be filled with the knowledge of the Lord. You know, that's really our heart. It's not enough just to have a show. You know, anybody can do that. Anybody can buy a couple of microphones this day and age. You know, get a room together, put something out there. What we want to do is get the knowledge of the Lord into your heart, your mind, your children's mind, your grandchildren's minds, to have this show every single day be a resource so that you can love Jesus Christ more. That's really the heart behind this entire show.
Well, today's episode, we want to continue yesterday's conversation talking about what it is that we're furnishing our spiritual life with. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many times that people can, in their spiritual lives, sort of get a mismatch of, like, I heard this preacher and I listened to this podcast and I read this meme, and just kind of that becomes your version of Christianity. But really, the Christian life is focused on the truth of God's word.
Ain't it crazy? Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, ain't it crazy how Christians do that? The most important thing that you can have, which is your faith in Jesus Christ. And we just Frankenstein it together, puzzle piece, everything.
Just stitch it together and make it something that
it
was
never.
That kind
of looks good. It makes me think of, like, those old, like, cartoons where they, like, build a shrine out of just stuff that they have, like watermelons and poppy seeds and, like, popcorn and stuff, and they just put it all together.
Yeah.
Like, what's that girl? Helga Pataki, Shrines of Arnold. But you got, like, the bananas and the watermelons and stuff.
That's kind of piecemeal it together.
That's silly, but that's what your faith looks like when you do stuff like that.
Yeah, we're going to continue that conversation today. So good. Make sure you guys stay tuned after the commercial break. But if you guys have any questions or suggestions for new topics, write in and let us know, 252-582-5028, or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. We'll be back after this.
Hey, what's going on, listeners? My name is John.
And I'm Ellie.
And we just want to take a second and let you know about Dr. Shah's new book on the market right now called Can We Recover the Original Text of the New Testament? Boy, that is a long title.
True, but it's a very simple message. The original text of the New Testament is not only attainable, but there are lots of different ways that scholars go about discovering it.
There's a lot of people out there saying that the original text is lost forever, or that it's hopeless to actually try to find it, or that there's many texts of the New Testament. But alongside Dr. David Allen Black, Dr. Shah has actually compiled papers from some of the world's leading experts in textual criticism, including one written by himself on various methodologies for extracting the original text. And listen, if you're interested in textual criticism, this book is a great introduction to the field.
You can pick up your copy on Amazon, or you can buy it from our church website. That's clearviewbc.org. We're going to leave a link in the description box so you can get your copy today.
Love that. Ellie, let's hop back in.
Let's do it.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abhidhan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028.
That's right. We're here once again in the Clearview Today studio with Dr. Abhidhan Shah, who is a PhD in New Testament textual criticism, professor at Carolina University, author, full-time pastor, and the host of today's Clearview Today show. Dr. Shah, happy hump day, my friend.
Happy good day to you as well.
good day.
Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday.
As they say on Vine, it is Wednesday, my dude.
It is. That's a deep pull. Wow. Yeah,
I think I've said it on the show before, but yeah, it is Wednesday.
It is Wednesday. All day long.
All the time. You could just go back, take a stroll down memory lane to 2010. It is Wednesday, my dudes. Dr. Shah, we were talking yesterday about how people furnish their house, their spiritual house, with furniture that just doesn't make sense.
Right.
And I was thinking about, I don't know if you guys ever saw this, but like the 90s furniture that was like Nickelodeon furniture, like the hand chairs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like mm-hmm. the just like the Technicolor everything.
Yep. Yeah.
I'm not even joking right now. I think we need a room in the church that's like a B studio, that's where we go, and it's just all 90s.
Looks like a blast from the past. Like there's a hand, and then like the throw pillows on the couch is like someone's foot, and
like just like slime. Do you remember like in the 90s when everything was just Technicolor? Not even Technicolor, but just all sorts of vivid.
I don't.
Really?
Yeah, this is like mid 90s or late 90s?
Early 90s. Mid 90s. I say mid 90s.
Early to mid, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I was in college at the time.
Yeah, okay.
And
not watching a lot of Nickelodeon back then.
No, I had come to America in 1991.
Uh-huh.
So I was somewhere in that period of trying to figure things out.
I got you.
And so, yeah, I didn't watch much Nickelodeon.
Last thing we need, I think, would be a slime button.
No.
Remember how everybody on Nickelodeon got slime?
We can't. Slime
time.
Button.
Slime time, yeah.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah.
I do remember that.
I remember watching that as a kid. That was so much fun. Just praying that somebody got slimed while you were watching. Oh, man.
Remember Figure It Out. That was the show. That was the show. You had to figure it out, and if you didn't figure it out, you got slimed.
Yeah.
It was just, that was a great time to be alive.
Yeah. Figuring it out, you know, that relates to what we're talking about today, figuring out how to get your Christian life on track, figuring out how to furnish your Christian life. We started talking about this yesterday, this piecemeal religion that people try to develop and claim that it's Christianity, but in reality, it's this sort of cherry-picked, this worked for me here, and this worked for me there, and then you have this kind of like Frankenstein of beliefs that is, you know, it's not really what Christianity was ever intended to be, and it's not biblically accurate.
Right.
We call it the Little Mermaid.
The Little Mermaid,
Little Mermaid,
the little treasure trove of all.
That's right.
The
I've got
things.
Gadgets and gizmos aplenty.
Yeah, and comb with a fork.
Yep,
and you don't know what you're doing. Yeah. And I think that's how many people's Christian lives are, and they somehow collect this smorgasbord of ideas, some rich deep theology, some really heretical stuff, some on the margin. And they mix it all together. They got it from their childhood pastor or a friend or some seminary pastor who came through for like a 8-month stint. Mm-hmm. And he was writing a paper on that subject. So, man, he was talking lots on it. And so we take that in. And then we put it all together.
Mm-hmm.
With a little dash of Joel Osteen.
No.
And so...
Not Joel Osteen.
What was that?
The salt.
You're garnishing.
Salt bay.
I got you. You're garnishing the house with Joel Osteen.
Yeah.
Very nice. So, I mean, you do stuff like this, and then what you end up having is this mishmash of theology and understanding, which is not really biblical.
Yeah.
It has hints of truth in it, but most of it is just all. Yeah,
try serving that to Gordon Ramsay and see what he says. I mean, just like, here, Lord, here's my here's my dish.
This it won't be good.
Is by far the worst.
This is the worst theology I have ever seen.
Out! Get out!
Oh, man.
Something about an angry British man yelling at other people.
There's
it's
a bunch
just,
of them, right?
Quality TV.
There's a bunch of them.
Yeah.
You have that the Simon guy.
The yeah. Simon Cowell.
Simon Cowell.
There's something Ramsay. About the accent. It just, and I can't take him seriously.
Then you have the Dancing with the Stars. What's his name?
Oh, what's his name?
I don't know.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah, they're all.
Is he British?
No, he is, but he's a nicer one. But he can get a little testy.
He gets a little fiery.
Tom Bergeron?
No, he's a host.
Oh, okay.
He's a.
Oh, so this is a judge?
He's a judge.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
British guy on Dancing with the Stars.
His name
Lynn
is
Goodman.
Lynn Goodman.
Okay.
Yes.
I never saw Dancing with the Stars. But something about their accents, man, I just can never take it serious. Like if it's a British guy and he's really like trying to fight me, I think I would just giggle.
Yeah.
Oh man. I guess that's why. Anyway. we talked yesterday about this idea of people trying to do this. They try to build this hodgepodge of theology, and it all basically stems down to this desire to really stay in our sin, because Jesus rescues us from this condemned and crumbling house, and he brings us into the new home. So that's us being saved. But now it's like, what do I do when I'm in here?
Yeah.
I'm in this big empty house of salvation, and I don't know what to do. So I'm going to bring in what little I know and try to put it together.
That's right. So we understand and we appreciate that Jesus forgave us of our sins.
Right, right.
The hard part is understanding that he has also set us free from the power of sin.
Right.
Forgiveness is one thing. Setting free is a different matter. But it has happened. We are no longer slaves of sin. We are free, yet many Christians never experience this freedom. They struggle with some habit, some hang-up, some sin they had before they got saved, and it continues as if nothing has changed.
Mm-hmm.
But now they're Christians going to heaven, but we got to deal with.
They've been made heirs, but they still live like slaves.
Right.
Like they still sleep in the slave quarters. They still eat downstairs.
Right. Yeah. Right. Some of them err on the side of sinless perfection. It's like, well, I'm not sinning. I mean, I've come to that place, but it's really not true.
Right.
They're either lying or they are delusional. I don't know which one it is, but they're not really set free, but they're pretending to be.
Mm-hmm.
And some maybe may have a better handle on their sin life, but still not this perfection that they claim to have.
Right. Yeah. We still commit sins, even though we've been forgiven of sin. Christ has been punished for those sins, and yet we still commit sins daily, but they would deny that.
So we're kind of using 2 Peter 1:4 as the jumping off point, but we need to kind of really plant our feet on that verse before we jump off.
Mm-hmm.
And so what does it say in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4? It says that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust.
Mm-hmm.
Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We talked about what does it mean to be partakers of the divine nature.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean you become God. We don't hold to the doctrine of theosis or deification.
Right.
We believe that our connection is with the humanity of Christ, right? Mm-hmm. Jesus was fully God, fully man, and yet one.
Mm-hmm.
The divine nature and the human nature came together, did not intermingle, did not mesh together. They both remained distinct, and yet Jesus is not two persons. He is one person.
That's right.
This came to the doctrine, to the Council of Chalcedon.
Mm-hmm.
We've covered this in a previous podcast, our videos. But now, what this does for us is something we need to flesh out.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we talked about how this makes us one with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That unity that is with Christ. At the same time, there's a distinction between us and God. Just like in Christ, you have the divine and the human coming together, and yet there's a distinction.
Mm-hmm.
and yet one person. So also we are one with Christ, and yet there is a distinction between us and God. Mm-hmm. You see, all that is relevant. Right. All that is critical
right.
to understand our Christian life. So these are not things like how many angels dance on the head of a pin. I don't care about that.
yeah.
All this matters. Yeah. All these, and the thing is, unfortunately, people don't get into these details, and yet there are many Christians sitting in the pew week after week, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years, struggling with these questions in their minds, but they know the person up there cannot answer those questions. They
right.
don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Or they feel like, well, if I do that, maybe I'm questioning too much. Maybe I just need to stay within this safe place.
Yeah, because if I question too much, then I don't have faith in God.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I better chill out a little.
I may cross the line, and then before you know it, I'm going to start questioning everything. And I know some people who did that,
mm-hmm.
and they're no longer Christians. So I don't want to get into that kind of mess.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, folks, that's the heart behind the Clear Read Today show. I mean, it's good to have those questions. It's good to have those moments where you can kind of press in and dig further in your theology. But lean on Dr. Shah, lean on the Clear Read Today show, because that's going to help you navigate those questions
that's right.
and not leave them unanswered. Because when questions go unanswered, that's when we get people saying things like, I'm deconstructing or I'm walking away from the faith.
Yeah.
Because their questions never got answered.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I just want to tell you, there's not a single question that you can ask that hasn't been asked before.
That's mm-hmm. right.
And been answered.
Yeah, you're not going to be the first person in yeah. the history of Christianity to come up with the loophole that finally unravels the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah. It's not.
It's been asked and it's been answered.
I'm not the first one to answer these questions. In fact, I'm getting my answers from people I trust,
mm-hmm.
whether living or dead, but they were steeped in theology, steeped in biblical knowledge. I may not agree with every single thing they proposed
mm-hmm.
or stood for, but I do know what to pick for from them. That is in line with the biblical Orthodox Christianity.
That's right.
Yeah?
That's right.
So going back to our 2 Peter 1:4, it says that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We're sort of focusing on what does that mean, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust? Of course, we know the judgment we have escaped.
Right.
Corruption.
Yeah.
How do we escape the corruption?
Yeah, is it the same thing? I think that's one of the things where people view the Bible as poetry
yeah.
when it's not being poetry.
Right.
And so they don't, because I would not have made that distinction between sin, my being a sinner, and then corruption. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That like, or the judgment, like you said. Like I would have just said, oh, it's the same thing. He's saying yeah. the same thing. But he's saying two different things.
Yeah.
Because it's the judgment, but it's also my day-to-day sins.
Yeah.
Which I think a lot of Christians, even myself included until pretty recently, maybe the last couple of years, just figured that's hopeless. You're going to sin.
Right.
And
right.
that's just what it is.
Yeah.
Right. And that's not true.
Right.
There's something that has changed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I want to focus on the next 5-10 minutes. So what Peter puts in two verses, Paul takes Galatians 5 and Romans chapter 6 through 8 to unpack for us.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
And how do we unpack? Listen to Romans chapter 6, verse 6. I'm just going to focus on Romans instead of going to Galatians, but feel free to read that chapter as well. Romans 6, 6. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin.
Mm-hmm.
I.e., that is, we have escaped the corruption.
Yes.
Of sin.
That sin used to be our master.
Yes.
Sin used to be our master really is the best term. I think that's something that we've been saying a lot here recently on the show, is that this language that is not metaphorical. This is a spiritual right. reality that was really plaguing us.
But the key is, how did God get rid of old master sin? Well, he didn't. Not yet. What he did do was that master sin is still alive, but God killed us.
Mm.
He crucified us.
He didn't kill sin.
He didn't kill sin, because as long as we're in this world, sin is still there.
That's mm-hmm. right.
But he did kill us. What us? The old man, us. 2,000 years ago, when Jesus died for us, he not only died as our substitute, but he also died as our representative.
Very important. Not mm-hmm. And not yes. the same thing.
Yeah.
Right. He died to represent our death from the family of sin, the family of Adam.
Mm-hmm.
So he died that death. So when he was hanging on the cross, and he says, Father, into your hand I commit my spirit, he not only died, but he also died my death.
Yeah.
Spiritually speaking.
Right.
It hasn't been applied yet because I haven't been born yet. But when I am born, and then one day I'm born again, mm-hmm. what's already happened 2,000 years ago is then applied to me.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And so now there's been a spiritual crucifixion that takes place
right.
to our old master sin.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. In us.
In us.
Yeah.
Correct.
Our crucifixion takes place. Old master sin is still there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like it's a process that we have to go through or it's something that we have to work out. It is done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're saved with all that faith in God, regeneration, justification, sanctification, at least the positional part, glorification, mm-hmm. the initial. All this implies that you died, you were buried,
mm-hmm.
and you have risen to walk in the newness of life.
Mm-hmm.
So all that is done. Now we are dead to master sin. Master sin still comes around, but I'm no use to him. What are you going to do with a dead slave?
Right.
Yeah.
You can't use him.
No.
It's just a cadaver. It's just a body.
That's right. Now, many Christians, when they face master sin, guess what they do? They try to dig up the old man
mm-hmm.
and try to fight master sin in the power of their flesh. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to really be determined, and I'm going to be focused, and I'm going to, and it lasts but a little while before master sin drags you right down the same place. Now, he's not really dragging you. You just drag yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that imagery is so, it's so intense, but it's so good because what use is a dead body to a slave master? What use is, I mean, he's not going to do anything. Were you going to flop the arms around like you're trying to complete a task? It's just, it's not
going
to work.
But then the Christian is going in and like grave robbing, essentially, like going in, trying to dig up the body, put it back on, and then fight in that strength.
Yeah.
Rather
really
than
odd,
just say, hey, I'm dead. You can't use this. You can't use it.
Yeah. You cannot use these old ways to fight the new life.
Yeah.
In the new life. Galatians 2:20 says very clearly, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me.
Mm-hmm. I'm just imagining, like, this is a really silly montage, but like, or a silly thought, but you know, like in Rocky, like the training montages, imagine like the coach, come on, you can do it. It's just a dead body.
Yeah.
Just on the treadmill.
I mean, that's pretty much what's happening.
Yeah.
You know,
so. They're trying to train their old selves to be more disciplined, to be a better Christian.
Can't train a dead body.
That's right.
Nope. So what does God expect from me? Very simple. It says in Romans 6:11, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Mm.
My job, your job as believers is to reckon. And if you grew up in the South.
Yeah, unfortunately, don't
do
the same thing.
I reckon is not the reckon.
I reckon I believe you, man. I reckon.
That's not what that means.
No. I reckon Jesus is pretty good.
No, not with that. I mean, yes, but that's not what this reckon means.
Yes.
Reckon here means accept by faith
mm-hmm.
that you are, this has happened.
Mm.
Count it as true.
Is it any wonder that when Peter gives us this ladder mm-hmm. of Christian growth, it begins with faith?
Mm-hmm. True.
Because reckoning is faithing, is really trusting. And if you don't trust God, not just for he's going to pay my bills or he's going to help me to find someone good in my life.
Mm-hmm.
No. Reckon faith here is that I am dead.
Yeah.
This is the new me and I have to live. And people are like, well, I don't feel like it. I still struggle. I still have the old habits. I'm still old me, you know, but I know I got saved. You're not trusting God. You're not walking by faith.
Yeah.
For the past couple of years, I've been really, shocked and surprised at the lengths that some Christians see. I've been working here at Clearview for 10 years.
Right.
And so the mindset and the culture here is pretty much all I've known other than like when I was first saved and stuff like that. So I didn't realize the amount of diversity in Christians' beliefs. And one of the things that I think I've seen that really has blown my mind is just like we were talking about, they'll try to just be better Christians and train that old man. But then there's others that are just like, I'm just going to turn back to the law. Like fully knowing the ramifications of doing that and fully knowing that Paul said, hey, don't do that. Like, I'm not kidding. Don't do that. They're like, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And it's a tragedy.
On purpose.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Romans 6:14 says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under law, but under grace.
Right. That's,
think.
To me, that seems like Christian 101.
Yeah.
And yet some people are still not, I guess, just not getting it.
Yeah. If you go back under the law, you'll give Master Sin the opportunity to control you. If you say, hey, the law. Master Sin says, that's right, the law.
Yes,
well, you belong to me.
Yep.
It's like, well, this dead body, how are you going to? And then Master Sin is going to try to use the dead body to, spread death in this world. That's all he can do. He may not get you to do but so much, but what he does get you to do, it just destroys your testimony, makes you ineffective for God's kingdom.
He wants you to make that list, to make that checklist for yourself.
Yeah, he wants you to look foolish in the sight of the world, and the world to say, look, life can be very simple for you. Here's how it happens. You're doing the same thing I'm doing. You have the same struggles I do. But guess what? You go to church and have somebody get up there and tell you all the bad things you've done. I get to live in the world and enjoy life and do whatever I want to.
Right.
What's the difference?
Yeah.
Why are you subjecting yourself to all these rules? And Christians are like, well, because God says here we got to keep his law. It's like, oh.
Such a misunderstanding.
It's a trap.
Yeah.
It's literally a trap.
Yeah.
Wow.
So law doesn't help. You can make all kinds of rules for yourself. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do this. You better not. And we end up breaking those things. And Romans 7:8 says, but sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire.
If it wasn't for that, it's like if it wasn't for that sign saying wet paint, do not touch.
Right.
Never in a million years would I have wanted to touch that wall.
But now that you've told me I can't, that's what I want.
I feel like there's, and I don't know what it is, because I'll walk by a wet paint sign. I'm 31 years old. Seriously, I've been alive 31 years. But when I see that wet paint sign, I'm like, I'm just going to brush it.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Yeah. That's what people are doing all the time, where they know this is not good. This lifestyle is not good, or this behavior, or this way of thinking is not good, or this attitude that I have is not good. And yet they do it anyways because it's natural. It's the old self. It's what was comfortable when you were lost.
Mm-hmm.
And you feel like, I'm going to revert back to just doing that.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. It feels natural. It feels good.
It's going to bring me some of that momentary pleasure I've been missing.
Yeah. And just think about it. Apply it wherever, whether it's lust or greed or pride or insecurity or laziness. Apply it anywhere.
Yeah. But I love what you said earlier. You're not a slave to sin any longer. You know what I mean? You're not under the law. You've really been set free. And even if you don't feel, this is something I really love that you say, even if you don't feel free or you don't understand fully the depth of that freedom, you still have it.
Yeah.
Right. Right. It's still with you.
Mm-hmm.
So the only way you will see your old man crucified is when you look to Christ.
Mm. True.
Yeah. So very important true. For us.
Yeah.
The only way
you're going to see your old man crucified, because I cannot like walk around and say, reckon, think, okay, I have to remember I'm dead, I have to remember I am dead, I am not, it's not me. If you do that, you will not be able to reckon, you will not be able to step on the first rung of this ladder of spiritual growth, which is faith. You cannot do that. The only way you can do it is we look to Christ.
That's right.
I love that. I love that, because we're so focused on ourselves, like, I am this, I have this, I have this freedom. But the only way we can have that freedom and realize that freedom is by stop looking at ourselves and looking to Christ.
That's right. You got to keep your eyes on Christ.
Yeah.
And you take your eyes off of Christ and you will see your old self again.
Mm.
When Jesus was walking with these disciples, they were not stupid. They knew the Old Testament. I mean, this is Peter writing this. And if you remember, I preached on Peter's life in Galilee, how his family was more than likely very steeped in the old faith.
Mm-hmm.
They're very steeped in Hebrew scriptures because those are the kind of Jewish people who were there in Galilee at the time, especially in places like Nazareth.
Mm-hmm.
They were, not Nazareth, to Capernaum.
Mm-hmm.
Nazareth is where Jesus came from.
Mm-hmm.
Capernaum is where Peter and Andrew and James and John went for fishing, and Capernaum was known for this very almost pietistic Jewish people who were trying to keep their faith alive in a very secular environment.
Yeah.
So when I say they were sort of juvenile or they were sort of kindergartner, don't think by that they were dumb.
Right.
They were just foolish. They were just infantile. No,
like
no,
inexperienced.
No. They just didn't understand the deep concepts
right
yet.
Yeah.
They were trying to grasp them. and momentarily they would grasp them. Who do you say I am? You're one of the prophets, or they say you're one of this. But who do you say that I am?
Uh-huh.
You're Christ, Son of the living God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you got it. Yeah. That's who I am.
Right.
Hey, there's somebody out there on the waves. He's walking towards us. Oh, it's a ghost. Oh, no. Oh, no. And then Peter says, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. Ask me to come, and I'll come to you. Comes. And then starts sinking. That story could have just ended. He came, and he walked on the water, mm-hmm. and everybody praised God, and it was a glorious day, and the sun came out.
Right.
No, it was he began to sink.
Mm-hmm.
To teach them at that level, you keep your eyes on me, you're going to walk on the waves. You stop, you're going to sink.
Yep.
Now, Paul tells us in Romans 6-8 what it means to walk with our eyes on Christ, not on the law.
That's right.
That's it. We got to keep our eyes on Jesus. If today was helpful for you guys, you learn more about your life and how to keep your focus on Christ, write in and let us know, 252-582-5028. Or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Scroll to the bottom, click that donate button, and become part of our Clearview Today Show family. Also remind you to visit MightyMuscadine.com, the sponsors of today's episodes. Check out their line of products. Use the promo code TODAY when you check out, T-O-D-A-Y. It's going to get you a discount, and a portion of that purchase comes right back here to the Clearview Today Show. John, what's coming up tomorrow?
We're going to keep talking about this, being slaves to sin. We're not slaves to sin any longer. And there's a verse in Romans that Dr. Shaw is going to walk us through tomorrow. I think it's in chapter 6. It says, but God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. What in the world does that mean?
We'll
Guess what? We're going to find out tomorrow.
Make sure you guys stay tuned. Love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow on Clearview Today.